But we're here without that. But we're here with the Word of God, amen? We're here to serve a risen Savior, amen? I'm so thankful to look out and see you here today. I'm thankful for you live streaming in with us today. I'm thankful I have very old friends, dear friends, here with me today. Are you thankful that you're here with friends and family? Amen. We are. Well, this morning, in thinking about this message, what to bring as we look at Easter Sunday, we're going to talk about a very serious issue that we all will deal with sometime in life. How many of you remember the movie The Kid with Bruce Willis in it back in the 80s? Yeah. Well, in this movie, Bruce Willis, he's an 8-year-old and he sees his future life as a 40-year-old. And this is what he says as he looks at that life with that picture of what's coming. He said, "I'm 40. I'm not married. I don't fly jets. I don't have a dog. I grew up a loser." How many of you here this morning are losers? No, don't raise your hand. How many of you here this morning like to be losers? How many of you like to lose at sports or lose at games or lose at jobs or lose at advancement? We don't intrinsically like to lose. How many of you like when you're defeated? How many of you like when you live in defeat? When you're bested in an endeavor in life? Given a choice, I think we all would say, given a choice, wouldn't you rather be a winner? How many of you would rather be winners? That's right. Wouldn't you rather experience the thrill of victory rather than the agony of defeat? I'm sure UCLA would say that after last night. Well, the Bible, everyone, has something to say about victory. It has something to tell us about the best kind of victory. In fact, the word victory is used 5 times. It's the Greek word nike, and it's used in the New Testament. 3 of those times it's going to appear in the passage that we're going to be doing this morning, and it speaks of our victory, your victory over your greatest enemy, and that is death. Death. Devil's a good one too. Oh, think about it. In our everyday lives, full of life, we all experience the agony of defeat and the thrill of temporary victories. Yes, we do. But I know we will all experience in real time the greatest victory when death is at our door. The victory that will dwarf all of life's temporary victories combined. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, what he accomplished when he rose from the dead. Victory through Jesus is the title of our message this morning. Last week, we were blessed with Jacob bringing us the Palm Sunday message called Pictures of Jesus. We saw in Jacob's message that seeing Jesus as the Lord God. Jesus is the King, we saw. Jesus is the Messiah. Well, picture this week. Picture victory. This thrilling news that we celebrate this morning from the empty tomb is that life, everyone, has triumphed over death. This is the message that dispels our fears, calms our hearts, gives us a sure, certain hope that because Jesus Christ lives, we shall live also. Don't you love that? Hallelujah. All because he has risen. There you go. Tune into that. Tune into that with me now. So please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58. Not your typical Easter passage, but it is ours today. Let's read together about our victory through Jesus. I give you a moment to get there. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Well, I jumped ahead. Let's start over. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Precious, right? When it comes to death, it comes to us all with great agony. It comes to us with great sorrow. So we don't want to dispel that. Death hurts. It hurts when we lose a loved one. To that believer, that sorrow is due to that loved one's absence and the missing of them here in this life. Yet to the believer, we have great joy in knowing that that loved one is alive and we will be reunited again. Amen? But to the lost world, it's dealing with it so differently than we do. It carries the sting of no hope, no reunion, finality, and judgment. There are so many things that we could say today about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But I just want to highlight three encouraging points to you from this passage today. Because our victory through Jesus, we will see our death is now our gain. Our death is now our gain. Our bodies will soon be changed. Yay! And our labor is not in vain. Praise God. Lord, we give you praise and glory this morning. I thank you for our time with you in song. We pray that you were pleased with our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the work you did on the cross out of your love for us. We thank you, Lord, that we have this great truth, these great promises. Let us apply them to our life and live a life pleasing to you in every way. We love you, dear Jesus. In your name, amen. So first I want us to see, because of our victory through Jesus, our death is now a gain. The world will say, that's a crazy comment. But look at the verses 55 through 56. It says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Okay, news flash. I hate to break the news to you this morning. Barring the coming of Jesus, which we'll look at in a minute, you're all going to die. We're all going to die. You may say, well, I don't see death everywhere around me. Well, it is. It's happening everywhere. On World Population Review, it is estimated that 1.9 people per second globally are dying. 114 people per minute. 6,829 people per hour. 163,898 daily. 59,822,770 annually are dying. One of these days, it's going to be your turn. One of these days, it will be my turn to be in those statistics. We don't know when. That's up to the Lord. But see, the world without Jesus looks upon death differently. They look upon death as a tragedy. The world without Jesus can say death definitely stings. The Bible here correctly says that they live in fear of death and calls death an enemy. To the world, death is an enemy. And it is all those things to those who do not know Christ. Do you remember the day you didn't know Christ? You didn't even want to think about the loss of life. You didn't even want to contemplate what that could look like. Death is the loss of everything for the man in the world. It takes everything he is, and it takes everything he has, and everything he will ever be. But not for you, not for the believer, amen? In fact, death is not our loss. The Bible tells us it's our gain. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 1:21? You got to think of this, perspective is everything. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. What type of thinking does that take? As long as Paul had breath, he's saying, he viewed life as all things Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. When that last breath was to be taken, as far as he was concerned, I gain everything. I mean, think of Paul. Look at his soaring spirit in our text today as he now reveals the victory we have over death. He says, oh, death, where? Where is your victory? Oh, death, where's your sting? Imagine that. Where? Where is it? Where is it? It's nowhere. Not anymore. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. I have victory. It carries no more burden. It carries no more sting. It only carries now gain. Gain for the believer. Only those who are victors through Jesus Christ can hurl such taunts at death and mean it. Only the believer can taunt death that way and mean it. Why? Because you know, as a believer who has been forgiven, you know, as a believer who has been given life eternal, that when we are facing our own death one day, sin can no longer harm me, and the law can no longer condemn me. It can't condemn me. It cannot harm me. It has no more sting. Wow. Verse 56 says the sting of death is what? Sin. This word sting here is used, don't just think of a little, that's a sting, a little bee sting. It's not just, it's a big sting. It's used of a venomous poison. In fact, death is not our loss, but our gain. And so, but to the loss, it's a sting. It's a venomous poison. In the fifth trumpet in Revelation, in the fifth trumpet judgment, what's it say? It says, locusts are loosed upon the earth to torment men in their torment. And it says this in Revelation 9, like a scorpion when it stings a man. Same word. It is sin, everyone, that puts the sting, that puts the poison, that puts the hurt down, that puts the fear of death in death. Because with sin must come judgment. With sin must come a penalty, a price. Because sin not taken care of brings eternal judgment and death. He then goes on and says, the power of sin is the law. You see, when God gave us the law reveals God's perfect standard. How many of you, even after being born again, are measuring up to God's perfect standard? No. It reveals God's standard. What the law did was expose men as sinners, and it exposes us to deserve the just judgment of God. But our Savior, what did he do? Jesus, think of this magnitude for a minute. Jesus kept the law perfectly, the entire law of God perfectly. And then he went and he paid the penalty for the laws we have broken. I kept every law. I kept it all perfectly. I have fulfilled it. Now I'll go pay for all your unbroken laws. Broken laws. The sins we have committed. And he went to the cross for them. He took the sting out of sin, out of death, by taking those sins upon himself and dying in our place. That's amazing what he did. What a difference this makes if we must face death before Jesus returns. I pray, Lord, come quickly like Peter. Who wants to be caught up with the Lord in the air? I prefer that. But what a difference to know that my Lord took that sting away, that judgment, that punishment. We do not face death with the sting of sin in it. Our sins are paid for. We must never forget and have a smile on our face and be jumping for joy to say, my sins are forgiven. Amen. My sins are forgiven. I don't face death as a lawbreaker who must give an account before the Almighty, Almighty, Holy Judge. I face him as a forgiven child from a gracious and loving Savior. Which way do you want to face God? I'd much prefer facing him as my Savior and not the one where I fall into his judgments. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, it was for this he called you through the gospel that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, it was for this. So we must see, because you are a victor in Christ, when death comes, death does not claim you as its victim. Amen? It does not claim you as its victim, but it releases you finally to glory. What a completely different perspective from the world, that glorious eternal life promised to those who put their faith in Jesus. You see, knowing this, that because he lives, Sue prayed this morning, I can face tomorrow because I shall also live with him. Wow. Does that bring comfort? This changes dramatically how we should view our death, even though it comes with all of our physical and emotional sorrow. How we should view the death of our loved ones in Christ. You see, as victors through Jesus, we know that our death will usher us into glory. It will not just usher you into glory. It will usher you into the very presence of Jesus who is waiting there for you. Wow. You see, Jesus is alive. We are not slipping away, my friends, into some dark unknown. We're just going home to our Lord. Praise God for that. In John 14:3, what did Jesus say? He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Therefore, that means Jesus is alive. Philippians 1:23, having the desire to depart and be with Jesus. Those are words meaning he is alive. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. You see, absent from the body is to be home with the Lord, meaning he is alive. Yes, don't get me wrong. We're to enjoy the precious life God has given us. But we're not to love it more than the life to come, when it means being at home with Jesus Christ. I take this as a great comfort to my heart. I hope it comforts you as well when we face our own death. We know people who have faced that death and are now home with God in glory. And they may be facing it right now. Maybe this year, God may call upon you to face yours. But when you do, you will have a peace that passes or transcends all understanding, knowing that death has no more sting in you, that Jesus Christ has paid your sin, and that you know your death will only be to your great gain. What a comfort knowing these things about our loved ones who have died and gone on before us. Don't feel sorry for them. They have gained the glory. They are with Jesus right now. And praise God, our hope and certain hope is knowing we will see them again. Amen. Imagine for a moment with me a soldier. We'll call him Joe. He's in World War II. He's in Okinawa during that war. He's dug deep in his foxhole. Bullets and bombs and explosions are flying overhead. He digs deeper. The water rises in his foxhole, and his foxhole starts turning to mud. He has nothing to eat but those K rations at the time. He lives day and night in fear in that hole, fighting insects, fighting the enemy. He's tired. He's exhausted. And one day, Private Smith crawls up to his foxhole and says, "Joe, I'm here to relieve you. You've got a furlough. The CO said, come get you. You're going back stateside. You're going home, Joe. Just think, you'll soon be sitting at home eating your mama's home cooking. Soon you'll be sleeping in the sheets in your own bed." Joe goes, "Say what? No, man, you mean I gotta leave my foxhole? You mean I gotta leave this mud to go home and sleep on beds, the sheets? I've gotta leave these bullets that are trying to kill me? I must leave my K rations, this K ration food for mama's home fried chicken? I must leave this war-torn battlefield of Okinawa and go home and rest in peace. I'm not going." There's not a soldier who would say that. In fact, a good soldier may say, "I don't want to leave you brothers behind. I will miss you all." But that will still not outweigh his desire to get on that plane, to get on that ship, and go home. There is much to enjoy in this world. How many of you are enjoying your life? I am. I mean, hey, think about it for a minute. I'm going to be a grandpa for the first time very soon. I mean, I have people to love, and I have people to love me. I have a life to live and a life to be enjoyed. I still have so much to do to serve Jesus Christ. But the truth is this, and we must not forget it. This world is a battleground. This world is a spiritual war. It's a mud-filled foxhole compared to the glories that are coming that await us all. And think about it. For many of us, if the Lord tarries, death is just your furlough home. That is where you belong. Praise God. In fact, when you think about it, aside from receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior in this world, that's paramount. That's numero uno. That's number one. But our death will be the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. You know, I lost my, these last 5 years, I lost my aunt, I lost my cousin, I lost my mother, I've lost dear friends, I've lost people I've known for many, many years. You know, I love my mom, and when she died, I can remember hard, deep, welling, heartfelt tears for a time. But I'm telling you, if I could go to heaven and try to drag her out of heaven and back to this world, she would be really upset with me. I can remember being in these pews when I was a little boy. I can just imagine an arm reaching out and grabbing my ear. saying, what are you doing? I'm not going anywhere. Paul said in the most classic understatement concerning departure out of this world, I mean, this is classic understatement. He said with Jesus that it was very much better. To leave this world and be with Jesus is very much better, for Philippians 1:23. I mean, that may be the greatest understatement ever made. And that's because Paul could only work with what he had, a limited language to describe the unimaginable. So can we say with Paul, thanks be to God who gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ? Can we not say that? Amen? So first this morning, because of our victory through Jesus, our death is now a gain. Next, let's look at this in this passage. Because of our victory through Jesus, our bodies will soon be changed. Amen. I thought I may get an amen out of that. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I mean, some of you here today may be fond of your body. You may like your body a little too much. But I mean, after all, I mean, the Bible does say in Psalm 139, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? We have our Creator. The body's quite a machine. It's quite a creation. But perhaps you've all taken note that it has a major flaw. It's going downhill. Even if you're the pillar of healthy living, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. After all, I mean, think about it. We know the physical ailments we're going through. And for all of you out there in the prime of your youth who may doubt that, I'm just going to tell you it's okay. Just wait a while. But our passage here bluntly tells us that our bodies are perishable four times in verse 42, verse 50, verse 54, and 53. You young brothers and sisters out there, you're like a brand new head of lettuce just put into the crisper. The rest of us, we've been there for a while, and there's various degrees of spoiling going on. We're perishable. This word perishable, it means to rot, to decay, to spoil, to destroy, to bring to a worse state. That's the impact of sin in the world. From the day we are born, you may not realize it, from the day we're born, tick-tock, you start to spoil. Our bodies are heading to a worse state, the Bible says. Somebody once said, it is a war to keep your mind together, your body working, your teeth in, your hair on, and your weight off. And I'm losing badly. What does the Bible say about growing old? Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 5. It says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. That is, the trials of this life have taken their course. The prime of life is now fleeting. Verse 2, before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. That is, old age is like a gathering storm. It hits you in every direction. Verse 3, in the day that watchman of the house, that's the arms of the man tremble, and mighty men stoop, the man whose legs are hunched over, he's hunched over, the hunched over older man. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few, the teeth are gone. Those who look through windows grow dim, the eyes start failing. And the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. The hearing starts dissipating. And the one will arise at the sound of the bird. The older you get, the more fleeting sleep is. And all the daughters of the song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. You see, old age makes people more frightened because of diminished skill sets and wisdom. And the almond tree blossoms, there's white hair. The grasshopper drags himself along, there's poor mobility. And the caperberry is ineffective. Y'all know what that is. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go in the street. There is the course of birth to death. There's a bumper sticker, you may have seen it, that says, eat right, stay fit. Die anyways. No, take care of the temple. But you will die anyway. But thank God, that's what the world has to look forward to. And at the end of that, death has its sting of judgment. But thank God, that is not the end of the story for us at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we have victory in Jesus. Our resurrected Jesus is alive, and he is coming back. And he has new bodies for all of us, whether we have died before he returns or returns for us and are alive when he comes. He's got something new for you, and that's a new body. I mean, think of this. Keep in mind, as we discussed earlier in the Acts series, that the resurrection is only a term that deals only with the body of the believers, not the spirit, not the soul. The spirit, our soul, are never spoken of being resurrected. Why? Because our soul never dies, thanks to Jesus Christ saving us. When our bodies are dead physically, our bodies go to the ground and our souls go to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. In this chapter, Paul, he discusses two groups of people. One, look at it, those who are asleep when Jesus comes in verse 20 through 23, those who are asleep. That is a reference to all the believers who will have died before the coming of Jesus Christ. But he says, but when Jesus comes, they will be what? Made alive. They will be raised from the dead just as surely as Jesus had been. If your loved ones are in the ground right now, they are not there. They are with the Lord. There lays their body asleep. One day Jesus will come and he will rise that body out of the ground because of what he did on the cross, because what he did rising from the tomb, and death will not have anything to go on there. They will have a new body. They will be changed. Praise God for that. Then the second group is those who are not asleep when Jesus comes. I mean, can you imagine that? Some of us don't get a lot of sleep, and some of us sleep every time we sit down. But sleep is a weird thing, is it not? Amen. For me, sometimes it's fleeting. But imagine this. Who wants to be in this group? Those who are not asleep when Jesus comes. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Wow. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. He says we will not all sleep. It's about those who are alive when Jesus returns. Jesus, our risen Savior, could come today. He could come before this service is over, and then we who are not asleep will be changed. Praise God. When Jesus comes, it says the dead will be raised imperishable. And if we are alive when he comes, we will not be resurrected because we are not dead, our bodies are not asleep, but even now, you will be changed instantaneously. Can you imagine a trumpet? Is that a good trumpet? I wish we had a trumpet up here. Blast that puppy. One day we're going to hear the trump of the Lord. Amen. One day we're going to be raptured off this planet. Could that be you? Could that be me? Well, we should expect it. We should live urgently. We should live like it could happen because the Bible says it could happen in the twinkling of an eye. It can happen before we know it. Wow. When Jesus comes, your body that is asleep, in the ground, or whether you're still alive, is going to be changed. You're going to get a new body. What does that look like? What will that be like? What will that feel like? I know this, it will be absent of sin. These bodies of decay and death, these bodies of weakness and weariness, these bodies of dishonor and disease, will be changed into glorious, imperishable, heavenly bodies, real, literal bodies, just like the body, the real, literal body of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, that will never see death again. Wow. Then will come about what is written. At that time, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. What Jesus accomplished on the cross, imagine that. What did he accomplish on the cross to the believer? The death of death. The death of death. Wow. As we close, we see our death is now a gain. Our victory through Jesus, our bodies one day will be changed because of what he's done. And lastly, because of our victory through Jesus, praise God, our labor is not in vain. What you do for Christ is not in vain. Listen to verse 55 and 6 again. Listen to these. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is. Therefore, something must happen because of that. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. Don't you love that? Therefore, you see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it should have more than an emotional impact on your life. It should have a very practical impact in our everyday living. Paul tells the Corinthians here to be steadfast, to be immovable, not to be discouraged in this life. Certainly here in the context, he's telling them not to be shaken, not to be tossed in the mind or the heart by those who are going to come along and deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, attacks on the fundamental Bible truths are coming from every angle. But don't worry. Be solid. Stand firm in your heart. Don't allow yourself to be moved by outward attacks upon your faith. Don't allow it. Stay strong. Therefore. Instead, what should we do? He says in verse 58, we should always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hey, let's do an exercise here. Some of you may need it. Let's all stand up. Let's go run around the sanctuary abounding. No, you don't all have to please sit down. I mean, I want to abound. 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 Do you know it doesn't matter how perishable our bodies are fading away, you can still abound in the work of the Lord. If you're still alive, go like this. You have breath. You still have the ability to be used by the Holy Spirit that indwells you for the Lord. We should never be doing as little as we can in the work of the Lord. We should be looking at life as doing all we can for the Lord. All we can. Even abounding in the work. Remember when you were young? And recess, girls really did this a lot. How long has it been since you skipped? Abounding. What's our heart look like? What brings us joy? What's our purpose? What is God doing in leading you in your life? I mean, therefore, you have victory over death. Therefore, death has no more sting in you. Therefore, you will have gain when God calls you home. Therefore, don't worry. Therefore, abound in the work of the Lord. If you're youth, if you're middle-aged, if you're in your old age, in pleasant times, yes, and sad times, when many work with you in the ministry, and it's a joy. Or when you must plod along with a heavy heart, going against the trials and the storm of the sea. Always, always remember this. You have that word there. Knowing, knowing your hard work, your toil, your labor is not in vain. For Jesus sees it and he will count it there and he will love you for it. And he will welcome you home, and he will reward you on that day. Listen to Hebrews 6:10. We're closing soon. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. You see, Jesus sees you striving. He sees every young person striving for purity. He sees those small deeds of kindness in your life done in the name of Jesus Christ. He sees those lonely, long, quiet hours of prayer for the life and the growth of others. He sees your determination and your fight for the faith. He sees the cost you endure, and he sees the price you pay to not be like the world, to no longer be conformed by it. He sees the stand that you're taking for the gospel. He sees every gospel seed you sow in the life of another. He sees this, as we saw in Acts. He sees that no reprieve, no retreat, no regrets attitude of life of the daily person picking up their cross and following him. He sees it, and he loves you for it, and he'll support you for it, and he'll give you your power. He'll give you his strength, and he says none of your work will be in vain. None of it. Because Jesus, amen, yeah, is alive and watching, and he's waiting to bring you home one day. Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done." Somebody has said, "Work for the Lord. The pay isn't much, but his retirement plan is out of this world." Well, because of our victory through Jesus, our death is now a gain. Our bodies will soon be changed, and our labor is not in vain. Praise God. Amen. Let's live like we really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's live like we really believe Jesus is coming soon. Let's live like we really believe this world is passing away and that we are going to a place that is very much better. Let's live in victory, my friends. For you see, in Jesus, We know this. Victory is not something we work up to. It is the place we stand and work out from. Praise God. He has risen.
He has risen.
Please stand. Let's sing Victory in Jesus.